First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these days as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello, Braden Harrington here for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you're using. Thank you for listening. And yes, Braden here, usually joined by my partner in crime, my roommate, but he is asleep early because he's got a flight to catch for Grand Slam in New York tomorrow. So I reached out for someone who hasn't co-hosted this show with me quite yet, but I've been having this man on my radar for quite the while, and I jumped at the opportunity to have someone jump in for this opportunity. So please welcome to the show a one Mr. Chris Walder from the Walder Sportscast. Hello, Chris.
How are you today, my friend? Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor to be a part of your podcast. I've had you on my radar for so long as well. I mean, I was flattered that you were able to come on my podcast many months ago. We had such a good time talking wrestling. And when you hit me up, you slid into my DMs on Twitter. I was like, oh my God, it's Brady. Is he going to ask me to do the show? And then lo and behold, here I am.
Yeah, you've been kind of on my radar because I know that, I mean, we're both in the Toronto area. I know that you were once a Scarborough man's. I see on your social media, and that's definitely where I instantly connect. Shout out Scarborough. But then I saw that you do a lot of like podcasts of your own, and you sometimes dabble in the world of pro wrestling because I see on your Twitter and stuff, and sometimes you make me chuckle, or I know that you know what you're talking about, and I've heard you on certain podcasts, whether you're talking about the Toronto Raptors, which is what you usually talk about, but I've heard your wrestling takes as well, so I want to squeeze more out of you and just have you on a wrestling show, so I hope that's all right.
It's more than okay with me, man. I feel like I piss off a lot of people on Bleacher Report because I'm prominently featured on the Toronto Raptors team stream, and I'll throw in some wrestling tweets every now and then, and I'll get people like the burner accounts with like the 7 to 8 numbers at the very end going into my DMs. Not the cool way like Braden Harrington, but the evil way where they'll be like, can you stop talking about AEW? Can you stop talking about WWE? I want to hear your Scotty Barnes takes. Yes. But you know what? It's Walder Sports. It's my Twitter account. If I want to talk some wrestling, I sure as hell will.
Well, you can definitely talk about pro wrestling on this podcast. And I want to let people know before we kind of jump into some stuff, because I want to talk about some more outside the box of just NXT. And we'll definitely get into some NXT. Trust me, because it's the whole rebranding. Right. But I will just kind of getting some things out the way. Davey is going to New York for Grand Slam. And if you listening right now are going to Grand Slam, be sure to follow our socials and everything at Up Next Podcast on Twitter, because Davey's doing a pre-party, a pre-hangout at the bar Cheap Shots in Queens before Grand Slam. So go find him, go follow the socials and all that stuff for all that stuff. And go check us out on patreon.com/upnext for all the other podcasts that we did, including some of the matches that we might be talking about on today's episode of NXT, because we did a best match ever, NXT UK, pour one out. And we had a blast. So that's up there on the Patreon. And I'm doing a show with Jordan Goodman tomorrow, where we're going to be talking all about all sorts of crazy things. So lots of stuff on the Patreon as well, and lots of shows. But we'll be back to doing lives next week for Tuesday and Wednesday there. But talking about Grand Slam, because again, we will get into some NXT here. But have you been? What's your you're a wrestling fan, but what's your intake as of late? Like, have you been following 2.0? Have you been following AEW? It sounds like it because your tweets.
Yeah, I'm prominently an AEW guy. I mean, I really got onto the All Elite Wrestling bandwagon when WWE Raw and SmackDown was kind of bothering me. It was starting to get offensive. It was getting repetitive. It wasn't dragging my interest every Monday and Friday night. So when All Elite Wrestling came around, a lot of guys that have followed on the independent scene, guys coming over from New Japan Pro Wrestling, I thought it was a really cool alternative that I've latched onto for quite some time. So I never miss Dynamite. It's my favorite show. My fiance hates the fact that I get the TVs every Wednesday night, but I can't miss an episode of Dynamite. I catch Rampage every so often. And ever since the regime changed over in New York there, I'm starting to catch on to what's going on Raw and SmackDown a little bit more, just because I feel like when change is in the air, it's a breath of fresh air. a lot of good things happening, a lot of guys and girls getting put in more prominent roles that they may have not otherwise had. And then, of course, with your podcast, Keeping Up with NXT, I haven't been a real big fan of the 2.0 changes, but it looks like slowly but surely we're getting back to that back and gold feeling. So that's why I was so excited to kind of catch up. I haven't watched the program in quite some time. I kind of follow up on it through podcasting, but sitting through it tonight, it was quite the experience.
Wow. So you're like a noob when it comes to NXT as of late in the past little while. 2.0.
I'm trying to remember everyone's names. I'm like, some of these guys and girls have some weird ass names. I'm like, what's going on? I remember them as different people out in the UK. They're coming to NXT 2.0. I'm looking at Jordan Devlin. I'm like, what the hell happened to his last name? Someone got this guy at Thesaurus. He's coming up with some crazy syllables here, but it is what it is. There's cool to see some familiar faces.
There's so much I want to catch you up on. I would recommend cheap plug here. Go check out the 2.0 year in review podcast we did with Denise and Solomonster, which was just awesome. And thanks everyone for reaching out for all the great comments for that show. We were pretty proud of that, and that was a blast. So, I mean, that's a good little like refresher course on what the hell happened in the year that was NXT 2.0. But to kind of piggyback off what you were saying, I do think AEW is the best show going. I do think it's the freshest show. It feels that way. But to give Triple H his credit, like, I am interested in some of the things that have been happening. You know, you bring in Io Shirai, I'm instantly going to start checking out what's going on Raw and the whole control thing. And they're doing sweet matches and stuff with them. We have Johnny Gargano, big fan of him. Kevin Owens running his mouth off all the time. They just announced a fight pit. I'm not sure if you know what a fight pit is, but it's an NXT like staple. They've done a few times here. And me and Davey were just talking about it on a show where we were like, man, they should bring that back. And here they are bringing it for the next pay-per-view at Extreme Rules. So Triple H definitely has his little like paw prints on everything that's going on. But then they throw a giant curveball where they go, hey, Roman Reigns is taking on Logan Paul at the Crown Jewel. And how excited are you for that match?
See, they throw some cool gems out there every so often with some unique returns and some bringing the fight pit, which I have seen back in the day. I think it was what Timothy Thatcher and Matt Riddle had a match, which was pretty cool. I think Kurt Angle was the referee. Yeah. So I knew exactly what that was. You know, yeah. I can't pull the wool over my eyes. But yeah, the main event with Logan Paul and Roman Reigns, it was a gentle reminder that even though WWE is showing some improvement, they still kind of have to resort to those cheap ploys with getting the big outside star to come in. With Saudi Arabia, it was kind of inevitable that might be the prime place for something like this to happen. I don't think it would have been tolerated on American soil. I mean, if you're going to do a one-off with Logan Paul, you could do a lot worse. He has shown like the guy can go in the ring. I really enjoyed his match. I believe it was at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
He had a really good match. Him against Roman Reigns, we'll see. Time will tell if he can hold his own in that main event scene. I'm going to watch it just to, out of the sheer torture I'm going to put myself through, just to see Logan Paul competing for the world championship in what will be his third match as a quote unquote professional wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that match. It was the SummerSlam one, and I was really impressed. I don't really know him much from other stuff. I know he's YouTube famous and his brother, the fighter now, and all that stuff. I've checked out some of those fights, but I'm not super familiar. I think the coolest thing about him is he's got that Charizard that's worth a lot of money around his neck. But I was really impressed with that match. And after that match, I thought this guy will be champion within a year. If they had their things right. And I didn't think they would literally go this quick to pulling this match, which I don't think he's beating Roman, obviously. But I mean, it will be, I think it would draw a lot of interest from a lot of non-WWE fans as well to kind of maybe subscribe to the network or whatever, or by other means, even check this pay-per-view out just because of the sheer interest. Like, oh, well, it's this guy, like Logan Paul now versus Roman. But definitely, I'm not too hyped about it, but I do think it makes sense. It'll make them money. It feels already like a big thing. They'd held a press conference. They don't do that a lot in WWE. Triple H saw how important AEW's press conferences were, that he had to hold his own. He had to hold his own. They didn't get a sponsorship by any bakery down there in Vegas, which they should have. But yeah, I like press conferences in wrestling. Like after
I think Triple H needs to watch more YouTube. I think he's unaware that Logan Paul is kind of like a disliked internet personality, but he's pushing him as this baby face against Roman Reigns, who's super cool right now. Again, be grateful that this is in Saudi Arabia, because if this was in America, Logan Paul would be booed out of the building and Roman Reigns would be treated like the god that he is in professional wrestling.
I think he'll be cheered there too. I've been loving what I've been seeing of the whole bloodline stuff, where Sammy's just the brother who's just happens to be in the bloodline with the rest of the crew, which we'll definitely discuss more of the bloodline because of what some things happened on NXT. But I'm not the biggest Roman Reigns fan. He's not quite a draw, but I will say the character and the whole bloodline thing is like total money. So I totally understand it, but I'm not looking for an all-timer match of the year contender again when it comes to Roman and Logan Paul. But hey, maybe we'll be surprised, just like the last time Logan Paul fought. So
bar is real low. Like, it's not going to take much for them to have a pretty memorable match. And I think there's going to be a lot of outside shenanigans and whatnot to kind of compensate for the fact that Paul isn't that seasoned in the ring. But you know what? Again, like you said, at SummerSlam, he blew away expectations. So maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe I'm still discussing more main roster stuff, but everyone seems to be talking about a certain White Rabbit.
I had that on repeat today at the gym on Spotify, by the way. That's a banger. Jefferson Airplane, bud.
Again, Triple H saw how awesome AEW was using their songs and went, huh, we should just use their songs. And then loaded with this. I did listen to it like twice today on a bike ride and on loop. But
wait, they have less money than us. Why aren't we licensing music?
Yeah, we should be buying songs. I knew Lemmy. Come on. What the fuck?
They can't afford the background music though, because when they're doing it during the live shows, it's just like an a cappella version. It's like Triple H, we got to draw the line somewhere, you know. These budget cuts, they are a real thing.
Yeah, it is a cool song and obviously leads to something spooky. And when I see something spooky and ominous teasing a return or something along those lines, instantly I think of Bray Wyatt. And now all the internet people have kind of put the pieces together and the puzzle together of like, well, this says this and it said come here and all this, I don't know, mumbo jumbo stuff. Do you think it's Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, it's probably Wyatt at this point, unless it's Paul London or something weird, like a Lucha Underground callback. I know a lot of people were thinking it was going to be Karrion Kross because he was the White Rabbit back in Lucha Underground, but he already kind of came back. It would be a weird 180 to do a gimmick change like that. Maybe there is some sort of an association with Wyatt and Kross. I feel like when Wyatt does come back, he is going to have a stable. You're hearing those rumors that maybe Alexa Bliss will be reassociated with him.
I
think, you know, I'm like 99.9% like in the know, like, you know, that it's probably going to be Bray Wyatt, because it would be out of left field big time. And then watching that interview that Hunter recently did with Ariel Helwani, where he spoke so highly of Wyatt and the mind that he has for professional wrestling, you thought the minute that Paul Levesque got into power, that Wyatt must have been one of the first calls that he was making alongside like a Johnny Gargano and a Karrion Kross and what have you. So I'm excited for this Friday, because it's leading us to believe that at 9:23 p.m. during Friday Night SmackDown, unless someone is going to walk through the crowd again with a QR code, this might actually be the return of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, it's interesting because it has like, there's doing different things like the QR code things, the music things, like the teasing, like it's pretty smart to get you to kind of want to tune in to see who it is. And the only two names that do come to mind, like you said, are Bray Wyatt and Karrion Kross. So I'm not sure if it's just Karrion Kross and people get upset and boo, and then Bray comes out afterwards. But I guess we'll see who the White Rabbit is. Feed your head. But I like my spooky stuff. Hey, maybe you could have a stable. Aleister Black can show up. And he'll join.
Oh my god!
The spooky,
the tweets. Oh, Malakai tattoo man. AEW. He's going to be in the Royal Rumble or whatever. Get over it. The guy's taking some time off.
Yeah, I hope so.
It would be cool. Like, I mean, in all honesty, I hope, you know, he's in a good headspace. I know he's going through some personal things, but yeah, it would be cool to see him associated with Wyatt. I don't know. Do you think Wyatt's going to just go, you know, kick it old school, bring back the classics, go full Fiend, or are we looking at like an entirely new character here?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll go back to the Fiend, which is like, which I think like the Fiend was a cool character, but I feel like he could go back to like maybe the way he was Bray Wyatt before, but the mask itself is cool and I think really marketable. So I would go back to, I don't know. I guess maybe it's the next, the Wyatt Six or the White Rabbit, or I guess we'll
see. As long
as
he keeps the song, man. That song is awesome.
Yeah, I even like the Fiend version. I like both versions of his yeah. song. I guess the cover, right? Yeah, both were great. I mean, that SummerSlam entrance was really awesome, and I still think back to it. But yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with this. And I am interested in seeing if it is Bray Wyatt who comes back, because you know Triple H definitely, mm-hmm. if they brought Braun Strowman back, they're definitely bringing Bray Wyatt back. I thought it was really odd that they even released him. Other stuff that's like going on in some wrestling. Oh, I will say I have checked out some other wrestling. I don't know if you've saw this, but I would highly recommend this match, but it is not for the faint at heart, because this match is just brutal. Jun Kasai versus El Desperado. Did you hear about this match or check this out? Because I, again, yeah. will recommend if you haven't, but like, you know, maybe don't watch that with your significant other. It's very, very violent. It was from the, I have here JTO Taka Taichi Despy Mania show that happened last week. Jun Kasai, which we've talked about on some podcasts before. He's like a deathmatch king over there in Japan.
Yeah.
And El Desperado can get pretty violent as well. But this is a match of the year candidate, but lots of blood, knives, cut open cans, tables, glass. There's just all sorts of gross, hardcore deathmatch stuff. But dude, it's so badass and would recommend. But again, maybe watch when, you know, you're in the right.
Yeah, Megan's only going to come into the room when I'm watching Dynamite. She stands up and she dances to Tarzan Boy. When Jungle Boy yes. comes out, she gets our cat and starts dancing. I did see little snippets of this match, the match you're referring to, the Kasai and Desperado match, going through Twitter. I watched the post-match back and forth exchange that they had. I think Desperado yeah. lost his match mask during the match, I assume.
He does quite often. Yeah, Despy loves to do that.
That seems to be a thing. Yeah, he doesn't give a shit if he owns the mask. There's nothing to hide back yeah. there. But yeah, I'm looking. I'll take your recommendation, bud. But I probably need to be in the right mindset to watch a match as brutal as you're describing it.
Yeah, it's really fucked up, but I really loved it. I got into it and it kept going and going and got crazy. So I would recommend that. And then finally, before NXT, like, I know wrestling is just, I feel like it's been such a crazy year. I mean, Vince McMahon, we mentioned, like, is gone and Triple H taking over. Sounds like a sentence you wouldn't be saying ever. It just sounds so bizarre even saying it now. But the big stories of wrestling continue this year, because CM Punk, with that whole AEW kind of press conference, eating the muffins and talking all that talk, and Kenny Omega, who may or may not have been bitten by Ace Steel, still no actual confirmation. I still don't know if that bite was real, but kind of what are any of your takes as, like, a wrestling fan and kind of watching this and taking it all in?
Yeah, so it was weird. So the night of All Out, the pay-per-view, my fiance and I were coming back from, so we were in Disney World scouting our wedding location in December. So we were nice. Coming back that night. So it was the first AEW pay-per-view that I didn't catch live. So the Monday after, I was starting to watch it online just to kind of catch up on everything. But I saw Twitter going nuts because of the post-match press conference involving CM Punk. I didn't have any context. I was just like, you know, people were spewing like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. What's going on? So I tried to get through the pay-per-view as best as possible to kind of, you know, get a feel for what wrestling Twitter was talking about with CM Punk. And then I watched the post-match press conference and how he kind of went in hard on the whole Colt Cabana situation, which, you know, he had his hand on the trigger. It was in the holster. He was ready to pull that out, even if the question wasn't asked. During the conference, it looks like he was ready to get that off his chest. I think there's a time and place for everything. Even in professional wrestling, where the lines of like what's real and what's not can be skewed. Obviously, you know, people, you know, who cover wrestling, that follow wrestling to the degree we do, are aware of the situation between Punk and Cabana and the legal ramifications and everything and what have you. But then hearing about the fight with Omega and the Young Bucks and the suspensions that followed, and no one really came out of this looking great. And it's disappointing because, again, I'm such a big AEW fan. I want this company to succeed. I want it to be a legitimate number two for the foreseeable future, so that people who are wrestlers have somewhere to go. It's not a monopoly by WWE, but something like this is just a really bad mark for the company. But it looks like they are moving forward slowly but surely. I think the Dynamite that followed that pay-per-view was a really strong showing for them. They got the big show coming up at Arthur Ashe Stadium, which I'm super excited for. I think they can move forward. And CM Punk, he's hurt. Like, no matter what, even if he wasn't suspended, this guy's going to be out of action for a while, probably for the best considering what happened.
Yeah, I do like we've been following this company kind of from the beginning. And like, if you've been a fan of it, then you kind of would love to see them succeed. And then bringing in CM Punk, like obviously brought in a lot of new eyes and a new viewers and new fans and stuff. And I think like the Dynamite kind of just setting it straight, like, hey, we're moving on. We're not mentioning this stuff, but we are moving on. And we're mentioning that we're doing that. And they go forward and, you know, put on some great weeks of TV and their ratings go up. So, I mean, like, of course, people who are like, oh, it's all a work. Well, no, I mean, obviously him running his mouth and getting all this kind of drama is going to make a lot of people interested, maybe even more interested than they were. Maybe they're going to make sure they watch that show live just to see if certain things are addressed. And then the following week, like the ratings were still really high. And I think the Grand Slam will probably break a million again, hopefully, because I don't know if it did last year. It still did really good. But like, I think the controversy as it is, like, does create cash, because I'm looking at it the same way, because that movie, Don't Worry, Darling, that's coming out. My girlfriend got free tickets to it. Some premiere, right? And there's so much drama. Every day the drama for that movie changes. It's like Olivia Wilde did this and Shia LaBeouf this and Harry Styles and all this. And now they're broken up and all this stuff. And like, I'm just thinking, man, it wasn't that great of a movie, but I bet it's going to just murder this week when it drops, because everyone's going to go want to see what the whole fuss is about. Or does it tank? Clearly that wasn't the case with AEW. Everyone wanted to tune in and kind of see. So oddly enough, like it, I think, help them, because if you tuned in and you saw the past 2 weeks of Dynamite, like you thought, wow, this was some really good wrestling and some good stuff. At least that's what I thought watching it. I'm really into Grand Slam, and shout out all the Up Next family who are going to be there for Grand Slam. And we'll be doing some show on Thursday at some point, somehow, on this feed. So look out for that. But I'm super excited. Chris, are we going with Danielson or Moxley for our next world champ?
I'm leaning heavily towards Bryan Danielson. I think the fact that the belt has kind of bounced around for the last little while, and John Moxley is now, I think, a three-time world champion, to put the belt back on him. And you see these reports that he was supposed to be going on an extended vacation prior to the mishaps going up. The guy was going to go fishing, you know, take some time off, hang out with your wife and kid. I think this is going to be a nice send-off for him, where he has a really good match with Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson gets his championship run. He recently did an interview where he said that he excels in these championship matches. He doesn't need a storyline. He doesn't need a big build. If it's for a title, that's what he's raring to do. And I think it's about time that AEW puts the title on him, gives him a run, and then he's eventually the guy to drop it off to MJF.
Yeah, I think that's the right move. Like, a feud between those two would be super fresh and honestly just really good, because Danielson is no slouch when it comes to promo work and building his whole story as well. But it's funny, because Punk leaves Ring of Honor, Danielson becomes champ. Punk leaves WWE, Danielson becomes WWE champ. Punk leaves AEW, Danielson becomes champ. Yeah, history.
It's destiny, bud. It's meant to be.
It definitely is. Yeah, I'm super excited. By the time you're listening to this, guys, maybe it already happened, but I think that would be the reason. Danielson as champ makes a lot of sense, and he's just fantastic, and I can't wait to see that. So talking about back to kind of some NXT, the last week's show ended off with a little video highlighting the whole year of 2.0, and then Shawn Michaels telling us that they're following tradition, and the paint splatter Nickelodeon logo was wiped clean with black, gold, and white. So now we are what to presume we are in a new era of NXT. And you kind of mentioned you weren't really following 2.0. When the change happened, did you just try a few times and completely fall off, or like, will you watch again, now?
Yeah, I mean, I would follow it to an extent, but it wasn't like the classic black and gold days. And I think the big detriment for me was that every time I was watching the main roster and I was seeing these guys and girls get called up, it's like everything that they accomplished down in developmental or in the third brand that NXT Black and Gold was, it didn't matter. So it was, you know, offensive to me in the sense that I was so invested in these performers. But when they made that jump to main television, it's like, why did I care in the first place? Because everything that they were is not what they are now. You know, they were losing their first names, or they were doing an entirely new gimmick. Like LA Knight, for example, he became the Maximum Male Models guy all of a sudden with no explanation for it. And that's what was bothering me. I understand why they did it, because they wanted to make it more of a developmental system instead of just like this indie-rific third brand that, you know, Paul Levesque and Shawn Michaels were trying to make it. But now they're resorting back to that black and gold, and like the main roster is right now. And like you kind of made the expression, it's a fresh coat of paint. I like that they're going back to this black and gold. It doesn't have to be a complete transition to back to what it was, but sprinkle in a little black and gold, make me nostalgic for those black and gold days. And maybe, you know, moving forward, a new fan base will arise and NXT could be bigger and better than it ever was.
Yeah. I think just kind of changing the colors was just like code for, hey, we know that you like the old style it was, and we're going to try to go that route. So just don't worry. Hold tight. We'll get to that way. And you know what? There was some good wrestling on this show, and I would say that's what NXT Black and Gold was known for. So, hey, we're off to an all right start. It should be noted that this week and next week, NXT were actually taped last week. So this is all pre-taped, but I don't know if you are aware of this, but I do not read ahead. Sometimes I was spoiled on one thing that happens at the very, very end of the show. But other than that, I was all right. But I guess nobody really is looking deep on the internet for NXT 2.0 spoilers. That's not the hot.
Sorry. Look, I'm the same way, man. Yeah. Like I want to go in with like just like a clean slate, 100%. I don't want to know what happens ahead of time. Just give me like a good solid 2-hour wrestling show, and we'll obviously dive deeper into what happened tonight. But you know what is my first, you know, soiree back in the NXT? Could have been a lot worse.
I like your attitude. That's the right attitude. I used to be real sour on 2.0, but I'm feeling real hopeful lately.
There you go.
So last week, Solo Sikoa beat Carmelo Hayes for the North American title. And then the dude shows up on SmackDown, and of course the Bloodline with all their gold, with Solo Sikoa now being kind of added to that. He also, I believe, defended the title against Madcap Moss, which if he won, I really wonder what would have happened with this segment here, because it shows earlier today as NXT kicks off, Carmelo Hayes is backstage with Solo Sikoa and Shawn Michaels is in the middle of them holding the North American title. You know where this is going. Shawn Michaels, or kind of, Shawn says that, look, Solo, even though you beat Carmelo Hayes last week, you were not the qualified competitor. Therefore, you don't get the championship. And says that, hey, sometimes it's just business, and business can slap you in the face. Which, so to kind of pause there, Shawn Michaels says that Solo Sikoa has been stripped of the title. The title is now vacated, not just going back to Carmelo, but the title is vacated because Solo was not the person who was supposed to be in that match. That is the choice that they picked to get the title off of Solo already 1 week in. Very, very odd, and feels like maybe this was taped later in the week to kind of add to this show, but kind of strange here. It ends with them mentioning in 6 weeks, there's going to be a 4-5-way ladder match to determine the new North American champion, and Carmelo's already in it, but there's going to be some competitors in matches in the next few weeks to kind of get the competitors for that match. But yeah, what did you think of this and kind of the way they handled Solo being stripped?
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed, to be honest. I liked the idea of putting the North American title on Sikoa, especially if you were going to put him on SmackDown and have him be, you know, a prominent member of the Bloodline, where all of your, you know, cousins are holding championship belts. I thought it was a good touch to have Sikoa carrying NXT's second most important singles title. I thought it brought more prominence to the belt. I thought it was a cool thing to have him defend it on SmackDown. I don't know if the fans in the arena were really necessarily into the match, because I don't think anyone believed that Madcap Moss was going to take the title.
Imagine though,
now that we
he could have taken it back. He could have been in this situation with Shawn. That would have made everything more messy, because if Madcap won, how is Shawn going to get the title back? Strip him of it?
Yeah, you're just lucky that Sikoa retained. Otherwise, it would have just been a massive wrench in your plans. But no, now in hindsight, being 2020, I think they just wanted to give Sikoa his big moment. I know he was chasing the North American Championship in NXT for quite some time. He gets that singles win, and then dropping the title, I think that also preserves him. I guess they just really didn't want him to be losing anytime soon, but they also didn't want him going back and forth between NXT and SmackDown. That must be a lot for, you know, a lot of travel for a guy like that. So it was cool to have it as kind of a one-off on SmackDown. I wish that maybe they just wouldn't have done it at all in the first place, but I'm excited for the prospects of this 5-man ladder match. NXT always delivers with ladder matches.
Yeah, I mean, I knew right away as Shawn stripped the title, meaning we have to find a new champ. I said out loud, he's going to say it's a ladder match. It's Shawn. He always just goes, ladder match, which, hey, it's been a while. All right, why not? But I do think it's kind of odd that they did it and then just instantly take it away. So it definitely like cools it down. Carmelo was on quite a run and instantly cools him down back to that level. We thought that Carmelo would jump ahead to just facing Braun for the title, which, I mean, doesn't look like they're going to that direction. But yeah, I think you could have had just Carmelo beat Solo in this, in a rematch tonight. And I mean, the taping and stuff, I don't know, I guess because of the taping, they were kind of handcuffed on what they could and couldn't do. But I thought it was kind of a lazy way to take the title off Solo. But yeah, ladder match at Halloween Havoc. We kick off the show, though, with a hot opening match, the second match in a best of three series between Nathan Frazier and Axiom. Now, I'm not sure if you know, Chris, but Axiom is a luchador mathlete who was formerly a kid.
He knows his long division there, bud. I know he's a kid. I did know this. I was so happy with myself to realize that he was a kid. He looks, like, yeah, the mathlete Sin Cara all of a sudden. I dig the mask, the comic book vibe. I don't know what the mathlete thing is about. I don't know how he necessarily incorporates that into his style, but the entrance is dope. I like the flash thing that he's doing. He's going back and forth with like the fast movements and whatnot.
Yeah.
Really dig it. Underrated character, I must say.
We just did a podcast covering all the best of NXT UK from their best TV matches, and A-Kid shows up a lot. We talked a lot about him, and I've definitely have found a new respect since watching a lot of his matches back from that UK run. But I hate this mask, and I wish we go forward where he eventually like strips it and gets a whole new kind of, maybe it's all like a ruse where he was using this to kind of become more of a bad guy. I would hope so. Just it's kind of too hokey for me, but the wrestling between these two is just awesome. These two start off and they have history. The commentary are kind of dancing around this, that they don't know each other because Axiom's not supposed to be the same. We're not supposed to know he's a kid. So the commentary are like, oh, they know each other very well, because they read comic books backstage together. Yeah, that's why. That's what they keep joking about. There's some great back and forth and then crazy like submissions where both of them are transitioning. There's a beautiful Northern Light suplex from Axiom, followed up by running drop kicks, a flying clothesline from Frazier for a near fall. And then Frazier just takes off Axiom's head with this huge super kick. You know, that one was for Sean watching in the back, but a kick out as well. There's then a moonsault that's countered into a sleeper from Axiom. There's then Nathan, who goes up with the superplex into a twisting neck breaker, like the final cut or something. We've seen him do this, but now he's incorporating his trainer, Seth Rollins, avalanche, like superplex into the Falcon Arrow thing. And then Nathan Frazier hits the Phoenix Splash and gets the 1-2-3 to tie it up in the best of three series with a 1-1, meaning they're going to face one more time. But what did you think of this opener?
Yeah, I dug this match. Just going back to what you were saying earlier about Axiom turning heel, I was like, what would be a good way to turn that character? He's like, I don't like math. You know what? I'm a spelling bee guy. You know, he busts out the dictionary. He's going for like 18, 19 letter words. Screw your multiplication tables. I'm going into spelling. That would actually work as a heel turn. But no, I really enjoyed this match. You know, you got Nathan Frazier, you got Axiom in there, two guys with obviously a rapport from their NXT UK days. I thought they had a really strong, like quick kind of sprint. Obviously, the result was predetermined because you knew that with this being a best of two out of three, that unless they were really going to throw a swerve at you, it was going to be split and they were going to have the finale, you know, next week or whenever it so be. It made me nostalgic for the Ben Carter days when he was doing his little stint there on Rampage. He had a really strong showing. I'm surprised that AEW didn't try and lock him down. But you know what? He seems to have a good thing going. The crowd was really behind him. They were anti-Axiom, which was kind of surprising to me. Maybe
it's
the crowd isn't sold on him yet.
Yeah, but
he doesn't say anything. There's nothing. If you look at this guy, you think he's like Juventud Guerrero or something. You don't know he's into math. Like, who cares? But the crowd seemed to, you know, the crowd there knows more than I do. But yeah, really strong opener to the show.
Yeah, I really like the wrestling between these two. I don't know if I like this one more than the last time they fought, but you just know that the best of three, meaning the third match, will just be awesome. And I bet they'll get even a bit more time, or hopefully they can maybe stretch it out to this Halloween Havoc that is announced in a few weeks. So I really like this match, and these two have great chemistry. They're very quite similar as well, but great, like fast technical and very like all the submission moves. Sweet opener. And I like the fact we get one more. We get a recap of Alba Fire and how she said Mandy Rose basically looked at her wrong and she's mad at her and says Mandy knows and Mandy's scared. And Toxic Attraction are watching this back in their locker room and they say tonight everyone's going to be reminded why we're above everyone else, as Gigi and JC have a match later. But a kind of quick video here, but we're getting Alba Fire and Mandy, I guess, down the line. But next week is Mandy versus Fallon Henley. But yeah, Mandy just seems to be feuding with everyone. Are you excited for Alba Fire? Do you know who Alba Fire is?
And is she? I'm forgetting her name from NXT UK.
Kaylee Ray.
She was the women's champion, right? Ah, Kaylee Ray. There you go. See, this now is why you're on that side of the camera, my friend. Yeah, now she lights people on fire. She got the Olympic torch with her. Every time she comes down to the ring.
Yeah, we dig it. That's funny.
She reminds me of, you know, like a Game of Thrones, you know, strong Scottish accent and whatnot. Yeah. I keep saying this with challengers for Mandy Rose. I'm like, ah, oh, it's going to be her, or it's going to be Mako, or it's going to be whoever, you know, inevitably faces her. I'm like, maybe it is Alba Fire. You know, I didn't think she was going to win the NXT Women's Championship, and she proved me wrong there. Maybe, you know, out of left field, maybe Alba Fire dethrones Mandy. What do you think?
Hopefully it's not. I think Kaylee Ray, Alba Fire could be on the main roster at this point, but I do think maybe a Roxanne or someone younger. Mako would be sweet, but I don't know if we're going to go that way. We have a video of Damon Kemp, who is spray painting a giant X over his Diamond Mine jersey and gear. And he says that he fooled Diamond Mine. And he says that it wasn't Roddy who was paid off by Tony D. He says it was him. And then it kind of shows the footage of him taking the money from Tony D's family, because it was him that cost a Diamond Mine. And if it wasn't for Santos, well, they would have won the title. He then says he destroyed Roddy's phone to destroy the evidence. But hopefully Roddy had iCloud to reveal this. And then kind of mentions that, you know, if Diamond Mine want to mess with him, well, like, he's down, but it was his whole plan to destroy Diamond Mine. He says that he's better than them. So this feud between Kemp and Diamond Mine will come down the line. I just don't know what looking at this kayfabe wise, you're picking a fight with three dudes and you don't have a team with you. So yeah. I'm assuming he finds some backup somehow, some way, but Damon Kemp showing that he's the reason Diamond Mine have kind of been losing lately.
I was watching some old NXT clips during the pandemic heyday, and I was watching that initial debut of Diamond Mine when Stokely Hathaway was out there with Suzuki and Tyler Rust and Roderick Strong, and Hathaway's like, this is Diamond Mine. And now it's like you fast forward and now, and it's like an entirely new premise. It's an entirely new
gimmick. Oh, it went through like so many new changes.
It's like they couldn't figure out what the hell Diamond Mine was.
They still don't.
Now it's just, yeah,
that's been the whole thing.
Diamond Mine was. This Damon Kemp guy, he's what's his name's brother, right? The Olympian, yes. Gable Stevenson. He's the brother, so he's getting more airtime now than the actual Olympian.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they've been using him whatsoever, and I wonder if they will. But I mean, the Diamond Mine have been pretty impressive, more so the Creed brothers. Yeah. So Damon Kemp too, actually, for some of the stuff we've seen, he's not too bad. So I am kind of this week's episode didn't go too much into this feud, but at least we get to hear from him kind of explaining, because we all thought that Roddy was the turncoat, and then just shows poor Roddy laid out getting sent to the hospital. Diamond Mine are upset, meaning Ivy and Paxley. Paxley's wearing her face mask and she says, Ivy, you got to focus. Don't worry about Damon Kemp. And Ivy says, I am focused. And they go out for their match. Ivy and Paxley versus Toxic Attraction, meaning Gigi and JC. We have Tatum, who's kind of running things here early on with some offense, but eventually when she tags in Ivy, she's clocking them both and does her like gut wrench throws, kind of like the Creed brothers here. But there's Jane, who hits a code breaker on Nile. They eventually hit the high low with a boot to the face combo and pin Ivy, who clearly was not focused in this match, because that was the whole story. But Gigi and JC get the win. And I mean, Ivy clearly is upset that Diamond Mine was beat up by Damon, and that's the reason Toxic kind of get this, and I guess get a rematch for the women's tag titles down the line. But I didn't think too much of this match, but it was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was quick and painless. It wasn't long enough to really leave a lasting impression on me. The main impression that I got, because I know Toxic Attraction did a couple of matches on the main roster as part of that tag team tournament. I think one wasn't. It just kind of goes to show to me that I think those two really need Mandy Rose as that third. I kind of worry about them if they go to the main roster and they're not doing the whole Toxic Attraction gimmick. That's why when I feel like there is the call up, I think all three of them will still be kept together, because I think Gigi and JC do need them. Big Ivy Nile fan. What the hell? Where did she spring up from? Jacked woman. Good with the suplexes. Good with the throws. Again, it led to the segment backstage where she was the one who got pinned. But I'm super high on this woman. I think she has a lot of potential.
She's super jacked. She's done a lot of the stuff with the Diamond Mine. But I think she's also improved on the mic and kind of coming into the character and owning it. So, I mean, she loses here, which sucks, but there's like the story with Diamond Mine and stuff. Yeah. Maybe she breaks away. I don't know. They've been teasing all sorts of stuff with them, but the match was there. We see JD and Tyler Bate. They're showing up for their match. They're going to face off tonight in a number one contendership match. Then we have the Schism Tree, the Dyads, the spooky Joe Gacy man. He comes out with his crew and their buttons. The Schism here, Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed. I swear those are their real names. Well, shoot name. No, kayfabe names. They say that Grimes, calling out Cameron Grimes yet again, it's time to pick a side. And if you are not under the shade of the Schism's tree, well, you must walk alongside us. But if you choose not to, well, we'll show you that it's not such a nice place, but we are on the road to peace and inclusivity. And our mission is to make the world a better place. Accept us. You will see the world we live in, and the wrath of the Schism is imminent. But, some dollar store Bray Wyatt here from the Schism, an act I absolutely am so over.
I love the entrance theme though. That's also on my Spotify playlist. I'll add that. Joe Gacy's theme is dope.
That's how you know we're getting along. Yeah, everyone loves the Joe Gacy theme. It's so good. It's the best part of that act.
I had to Google what a schism was because I thought it was something that Missy Elliott would drop in one of her raps, like a schism, you know, like, and it goes back to her old classics back in the day.
Please read to the class of
I need to Google her lyrics from back in the day. I just immediately thought, I was like, Missy Elliott, schism. That's awesome. What a cool segue there. Jagger Reed looking like Mordecai and Fowler looking like Corporate Kane with their outfits and their one eye and whatever the hell's going on there. What's with WWE's fascination with eyes? You know, they got to have the one weird pupil. We saw it later in the show with Apollo Crews. We'll get to that later. But the eyes, I don't know. They're trying to get for some demonic thing. But again, I feel like Joe Gay, you made the perfect analogy. Dollar store Bray Wyatt. That's kind of what they're going for. I don't know if it necessarily works with Joe Gacy as the head of the group. I remember him from like his CZW days and the violent guy that he was. And now he's got his hair cut. And
now he's wearing
a button up. Yeah, super woke. He's throwing up the peace signs or whatever. You know what? I could mute those guys in the ring. As long as you play that damn theme song, I'm good to go.
Yeah. And you know what? Like Grizzled Young Vets were a good wrestling team. And for a little match that kicks off here, it has some good wrestling in it. The team of Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed are going up against Idris Enofe and Malik Blade. So these guys are pissed off that these guys attack them. So they go off and the match starts. We have both Blade and Enofe tagging in and out, doing double teams on Rip Fowler here. When Blade comes in and hits a huge high cross body for a near fall, they send them to the outside and then hit huge double tope con helos to both of them to go into a commercial break. When we come back, Blade is still in control, but it should be noted that Malik Blade wrestles in his sweater vest. And this ended up costing him because it's grabbed by, I think, Jagger on the apron here to distract him and pull him back. And then he eventually gets thrown into the ring and Enofe sent to the outside and they beat down on him and they hit him with what they used to call the Ticket to Mayhem, which I don't know if they're calling peace and inclusivity now, which they I guess they should. But they get the win here. I missed a vital part of this because before they hit that, we have the team of the Schism Tree doing their best Rey Fénix and Penta double team combo as James Drake, Jagger Reed, jumps off the back of his partner Fowler and does a pop-up Canadian Destroyer, which was very, very nice, actually. So you see, so then they hit the ticket to Mayhem and pick up the win. But a pretty crazy little tag team match that did have some cool spots. But gimmick aside, what did you think of the match?
Yeah, they clearly watched Dynamite on Wednesday.
Because yeah,
it's not as impressive when you're not doing it to a 350-pound guy like Keith
Lee. Yeah, it's like we see those guys do this move every week, and then all of a sudden, these guys, I've never seen these guys do that move before. So it is kind of like, okay, like did we watch Dynamite too,
yeah,
guys. Not saying that, you know, everyone does a Destroyer, but that's literally the like patented move of those two dudes. So it is a little like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing.
That's what I'm so fascinated with in WWE and NXT is that whenever someone executes a Canadian Destroyer, it's considered this massive deal. And in yeah. AEW, we feel like we see it like three times a match. Like you can't have an AEW match unless you're giving a Destroyer to somebody. But like when Edge did the Destroyer, I think it was to Damian Priest on Raw in Toronto. And that was like blown out of proportion because he's yeah. like, you know, 50 years old or whatever he is. And he's doing a Destroyer. And then they do it here in this match in NXT. I was like, yeah, it's a cool spot. And the crowd popped for it. But I'm like, you know, I've seen it. Like I just saw it last week and it was yeah. better when they did it to Lee. And
yeah, that was that's a massive the thing. Pop. Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Like that move is overused, and it is used in WWE, which is pretty cool. It, whatever, but I felt like the way they set it up was exactly like the one that Penta and Rey Fénix do, like in every match. It's the one where he jumps off the guy's back. So it is a little like, not saying, you know, it's a stolen move, but the double team aspect showed it's the exact same setup for it. So that was a little,
yeah.
But I still used to like these guys, but the gimmick, just the look they have right now, they look ridiculous. And on top of that, to go back to people looking funny, this guy, Malik Blade, is awesome. So is Idris and Ofe. They could have a great future here in WWE. They're a pretty high-energy tag team. But lose the sweater vest. This must be the yeah. match that you learned that was not – I shouldn't wrestle in this. Because the guy literally – it costed you the match. So now you have to drop the sweater vest. It just makes sense. You can't pull the Carlton every week there.
It's just, it's a liability out there. You're going to get dragged throughout the ring with your bloody sweater vest. It's not even a good sweater vest. No. You know, I'm not a sweater fest aficionado, but come on, at least give me something that looks like you didn't pull it from the rack at Winners. You know, give yeah. me some luxury, give me some style, some pizzazz, not this,
hey, like, you know, I want to clarify Winners is fantastic, but I mean, like, you don't wrestle in the stuff you
I live in Lindsay, Ontario, bud. There's a Winners out here and it's like Shangri-La because we don't have much going on in the means of clothes out here. So Winners is the place to be.
Shout out Winners. I'm trying to think of what it's called in the States, like JCPenney or owned by TJ Maxx. I think it's TJ Maxx. Sure,
they're jealous yeah. they don't have a Winners. That's yeah. their problem. Get on in America.
We go to, well, I don't know if it showed on TV, but I saw people, the rumblings on Twitter of the Red Hood.
So yeah.
The Schism people.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Okay. So the Schism, it was, this person was in the crowd and it's very apparent that it's a woman, which I think in the past few weeks, we've kind of thought that it was Isla Dawn, but we don't see her face as she's wearing a mask in this Little Red Riding Hood getup, but it didn't show her on TV, but she was in the crowd. So she's with the Gacy folk. We get a recap of Quincy Elliott last week and his victory, and I'm sure he'll have another match soon, but we didn't get him wrestling here. Did you happen to see any of Quincy Elliott?
I saw it trending on Twitter. The Super Diva, big dude, right. Very charismatic, does the Rikishi kind of sit down splash from the yeah. middle rope. And then he was doing like the dip with the referee. I thought that was cool. It's unique. You know, yeah. it's so hard. I feel like every gimmick in wrestling has been done to death, but this is like very new. Like, you know, you don't hear the word diva anymore in WWE, but this guy is rolling with it as a male performer. And I think it's special. And I think the fans are going to slowly and surely really start to rally around this guy.
Yeah. I think as soon as he kind of gets it down pat and kind of lives the gimmick and kind of, you know, feels way comfortable being out there. He's pretty green, I would imagine as well, but it could work. Cause it is definitely different than a lot of what we normally see in wrestling. We go to Roxanne Perez, and it's a little video here where she's talking about her match with Miko Satomura. And then she says that I've never been hit harder, as it shows the clips of her getting hit really hard. She says that Satomura proved to her that she is in fact an icon and that I may have lost the match, but I gained her respect. And then it cuts to Satomura, who says Roxanne was a very tough opponent. She stood up to me and she has the fighting spirit. And one day Roxanne will be champion. And then it kind of gets scratched out and cuts to backstage where Cora Jade's being interviewed. And she mentions like, screw Roxanne and screw Mako Satomura. I didn't want that match anyways, is pretty much what she says, but as she has a match with Wendy next. But little quick promo for Roxanne and Mako, which that match was awesome a few weeks back. If you didn't check that one, would recommend. But I do think we should go towards Jade versus Satomura kind of as the next stepping stone for Jade and Roxanne. But here we go to Wendy Chu and Cora Jade. And Wendy Chu is wearing not her cozy onesie thing. She's wearing wrestling tights, but they have ice cream all over it. So nice touch there. Nice ice cream. There's a handstand, headstand escape from Wendy Chu early on to get out of a hold. There's then a pump kick and then another into the corner as she's gaining offense. Cora eventually gains control and on the outside, slides under the bottom rope and twists Wendy's neck into the bottom rope, kind of snapping her against the rope, which I've not really seen before, kind of Fit Finley-esque, as then Cora just takes advantage, pounds on her, eventually hits this like DDT and pins her for the win. What did you think of the generation of Jade here?
Yeah, I didn't understand originally when it happened why Cora Jade was turning heel. I thought it was like the heel turn for the sake of a heel turn, like it was just something to do to create a buzz, but they didn't really know what they were going to do afterwards. But I kind of get it now. She's going like for this really hard rock punker, you know, attitude. And she's like a nice contrast with what they're doing with Roxanne Perez. I was more infatuated here with Wendy Chu because I remember when her gimmick first debuted on Twitter, a lot of people were calling her NXT's like version of Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
Like they were really going to embrace the sleeping and her being lollygagging through the match and whatnot. And again, this is from someone who doesn't watch NXT 2.0 regularly, but her not really kind of falling back on that, her just being like a typical performer who's just wearing pajamas with ice cream on it. That was all that was really special about her in this match. Again, not a memorable match with Cora Jade. I hate when the DDT is a finishing move. I feel like everyone uses the DDT, but all of a sudden it's a finisher now for Cora Jade.
She's bringing it back. Bringing it back.
Owen, you know, the snake. Cora the snake, you know, an homage to Jake Roberts. But not a match I'm going to remember, but I get what they're doing with Cora Jade. And again, against Wendy Chu, like the crowd was really behind Cora Jade.
Yeah, they're still kind of in the tweener role, even though she's trying to play the baddie heel that she is. Wendy stands up in the ring afterwards and is attacked from behind by Lash Legend. So we will be going to this match in the near future. But Lash Legend attacking Wendy. Sure. That poor Wendy. That Lash.
What did she do? Mean. She's just trying to have a nap.
But yeah, exactly. Leave her alone. She did. She got beat up by Lash Legend.
Yeah, she got kicked in the face. She's having a nap now, yeah.
They cut back to Mackenzie backstage with Braun, and Mackenzie says, well, we just saw Cora have a huge victory, and Braun Breaker cracks a big smile. He then says, hey, NXT fans, thanks for voting for me last week for being the most popular superstar. And when asked about who he thinks is winning the main event tonight, he says that he would put his money on Tyler Bate winning, and he can't wait to have a great match again with him because he knows they put on a banger at the pay-per-view last month. So Braun Breaker's
spoiling the main event. Yeah. Oh, you're picking Tyler Bate.
Looking past
winning tonight.
JD would have a big gripe here if he watched this, because it's like, yo, you just throw me under the bus. Great, thanks.
What a dick. He didn't even pick me. I'll show him.
We go to Carmelo and Trick, and they are upset because of what happened last week, but they say today is a new day, and they're going to come down to the ring in a second. But we have a Say My Name, an Oro Mensa, who's debuting tonight, and he's being interviewed here by Kelly Kincaid, the former Quinn McKay. She asks him, you know, are you excited? You're here in NXT. And he says that he came to NXT to face the best. And superstars here like Grayson Waller even noticed me and even tweeted about me, and that my name Oro means gold, and I'm from Ghana, the country of gold. And tonight, after I beat Waller, I'm going to qualify for that ladder match and make a big splash in my debut in NXT. So Oro Mensa looking to to make a big statement coming in here. Getting added to that ladder match is pretty big. What do you think?
Yeah, I appreciate the explanation for his name, because otherwise I would have thought it was stupid. I think he was Oliver Carter back in NXT.
Oliver UK Carter.
Or something like that. Yeah, so the Oral Mensa, I first heard it, and I'm like, damn, man, the guy couldn't have pulled a better name out of a hat. Like, I don't understand the context here. But
I did not know that either, yeah.
But then he provided, you know, where his name comes from, and I was totally okay with it. He was impressive in his match tonight, and obviously they have big plans for him, throwing him into that ladder match. So a solid start to his 2.0 run.
We go to Carmelo and Trick, and Trick is wearing some just beautiful Burberry / leather pants or some crazy outfit here. Not a shirt, though, of course, because Trick looks so good without a shirt. They say... Carmelo's really mad because of last week, and now he's not even the champion, and Solo isn't either. But this is clearly taped last week, and I'm not sure if they did some chopping and pasting here, because he never mentions this ladder match or anything about qualifying or anything like that. He just says that the person last week who played the music and the guy who rang the bell and the ref, I want them all fired because they shouldn't have allowed that match to take place. And then he says, Solo, I don't care what bloodline you come from. You came into my house and you stole from me. When Carmelo is interrupted by Chase U, Andre Chase, Bodhi, and Thea. And they say that right now we have a teachable, but they're interrupted. And Trick says, don't finish that. Then they walk closer and he tries to say it again. And he's stopped again and says, it's a teachable moment. They all get in a brawl, and because Melo says this ain't the time. So they start to fight when a ref runs down and we have an impromptu tag match. Melo and Trick versus Andre Chase and Bodhi, who Bodhi looks like Billy Gunn here, like Billy and Chuck Billy Gunn. Like,
dude, I wrote that in my notes. I'm like, if you blurred your eyes for two seconds, I swear him. To God, I thought he was the one Billy Gunn. He couldn't believe it.
He looked like an ass boy. Like,
ass boy for days.
It looked just like him. Really, I watched the whole match and I'm like, that's Billy Gunn. So shout out Bodhi. There's Bodhi who's in, and he does the football stance, football tackle to Trick for a near fall. There's then Andre Chase who comes in. He does the Chase U stomp. What is that spell? And stomps the hell out of Melo. Trick eventually goes for a shoulder block of his own, but misses and just eats shit. And then Melo comes in. He starts to kick Chase, but eventually Chase counters Melo and rolls him up with this crazy innovative pin and gets the upset pin on Carmelo Hayes, pinning him, getting the victory, Chase U. And then he yells over as they're leaving and says, now that was a teachable moment. So Carmelo Hayes is fuming. He's on a little bit of a losing streak, but kind of similar to some of the matches earlier, kind of really quick, kind of throwaway, but I would say the kind of twist with the upset finish.
Yeah, this match was more about the result than anything else. But I will say, as someone who has not really watched a lot of Andre Chase, I know it's Harlem Bravado days. I think that was his gimmick in the independent scene. But like for him, whenever I saw his segments on NXT, they were a skippable moment for myself. I wasn't exactly feeling the whole shtick with the university and the fans and the crowd and whatnot. It kind of works in this smaller setting because they get really loud. I don't know how many of them are actually like performance center talent or whoever. They're all real fans students. Who show up with the sweaters, right? Like, I mean, it could have fooled me, but no, so watching this match, some of the stuff that he did, like give me, you know, a C or whatever he was doing the kicks, I'm like, man, on the main roster, like kids and like weird adults are just gonna eat that shit up. It kind of reminds me of like the Adam Rose character back in the day, where you almost need like a bunch of people like every single week to kind of make this work, because you need people like chanting his name and wearing the sweaters and really embracing that university kind of style lifestyle. Very surprising result here. Kind of makes me wonder what they're doing with Carmelo Hayes. If they didn't announce the ladder match coming up at Halloween Havoc, I would have assumed that maybe this is like his send off to go up to the main roster, because I feel like Carmelo, maybe not Trick, because he's still very green, but it works with Carmelo. Maybe they were ready for like a spot on Raw or SmackDown. But now, obviously, with this ladder match coming up in 6 weeks, maybe he'll win the title back and kind of start anew. And it makes me wonder why they took the belt off of him in the first place.
Yeah, I thought taking the belt off him made it kind of clear to me that they would go with him to be the big brawn guy. But instead they're adding him back in the ladder match. He could win the ladder match, get the title back again, and then go on a run and then call himself the A champ. Maybe go do that Braun match. I'm not sure, but you could have him lose and then still eventually go for Braun or main roster. But either way, I would like to see Carmelo stick around NXT and become NXT champ, just because he has been one of my favorite, if not my favorite character on the show and the wrestling. And now here he is losing 2 weeks in a row, but I think he'll get his win back. But now they should rematch it, because if Chase wins, he should be in the ladder match instead.
Yeah. I thought they were going to say right after, yeah, like, Carmelo's in the match, like Chase just beat him. Like, it would be weird now if Chase doesn't actually end up competing for the title. Yeah. But again, there's plenty of time before Havoc.
We go to a clubhouse backstage, the Gallus clubhouse. It kind of looks like Bradshaw and Farouk's old clubhouse, the APA. They're playing poker, they're drinking beer, they're throwing darts. When Briggs and Jensen show up, they look like they'd like to hang out in this clubhouse. And Gallus says, hey, we like it here in America, we run things here. And Briggs and Jensen say, well, actually, we were hoping you skedaddled back to the UK where you came from. And Gallus laugh and say, you can't sit here, the kids' games are down the street, go play, don't be here. And then Briggs says, well, this kid is going to put you under the table or through the table. And then they start to brawl. And then it is later announced that next week on NXT, we're getting, are you ready, a Pubs Rules match featuring Gallus boys, the Gallus lads versus Briggs and Jensen, BYOB.
You play darts or something, like Pub Rules? Like, what's going on with that? I mean,
they've teased the darts, and wrestling these days is pretty wild and violent. If we don't get a dart spot, what are we even doing here? So, look,
I love you, bud. I was going to do this podcast no matter what. I swear to God, when I saw these four people on my screen, I was ready to turn this off.
You're not a fan of Gallus?
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about Gallus. I don't know what it is about Briggs and Jensen. I can't stand any of those guys. And the fact that they're in a feud right now and they're going to have a Pub Rules match, which could be fun. No disqualification. They get the pool tables out. They get the cues. They get the darts. Maybe, you know, it'll get the 5 stars from Meltzer. I don't know. But if there's just something about Gallus that, like, they should do the Wendy Chu gimmick, because they will put you to sleep. You'll get a good night's rest. You'll get your 8 hours after watching Gallus. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm sitting.
No, you're not alone. You're not alone. I think a lot of people feel that way. Maybe giving them more of a pub, you know, gimmick is something that they can work with. But I don't really.
It's being like done on SmackDown right now.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it is. There's a lot of drinking and pub fighting and all sorts. But yeah, I'm not too big of a fan of their guys. Their theme song is nice. It's nice. Generic.
Is that the saving grace of like a number of these talents? Like,
if your theme's good, you know,
a banger.
Yeah, it's all right.
Shout out to Joe Gacy.
We go to our next match. It is Big Lads Wrestling, as we like to call it, because we got some big boys here. Sanga taking on Von Wagner, the greatest wrestler to ever grace NXT WWE, Von Wagner. Brawling here starts off this match where both of them are just throwing bows and hitting each other. Eventually Sanga hits him with a sidewalk slam for a near fall and then boots him to the outside. When they're on the outside, Mr. Stone jumps off the steps, but gets caught by Sanga, who looks like he's about to choke slam him on the steps, which I was like, yeah, do that. That would be great. But Wagner stops him, throws Sanga into the steps, throws him back into the ring, gets him up. Looks like he has a hard time doing it. Picks him up for the Death Valley driver, the Wagner bomb. 1, 2, 3. And Von Wagner gets the big win here. But I thought I was expecting a little bit much more from this match, but we didn't get too much. What'd you think?
And again, everyone out there listening to this podcast, remember that I am not like an avid NXT watcher, not as much as I was nearly back in the day. So when I saw this and this Von Wagner guy comes out looking like Lance Archer 8 Hangman Adam Page, and I couldn't make out what exactly he was going for with his look. He had, you know, Robert Stone there in his corner, supposed to be this menacing, like generic creator wrestler from SmackDown versus Raw from way back when. He's got a stupid hair and he's fighting this big grizzly guy, Sanga, or whatever his name was. I was expecting, you know, I like it when the two behemoths go up against each other. It was giving me vibes of like, and I hate going to AEW all the time on an NXT podcast, but it reminded me of that Revolution ladder match when we had, like, you know, what was it, a Wardlow and Powerhouse Hobbs. And I think there was another big guy in there that they were trying. Keith Lee was in that match too. And the crowd went nuts because it was just like, all right, brute force. Let's just let them slug at each other for 15 minutes. And then this was like a much lesser, tamer version of that, that like didn't draw in my interest.
It was more sad. It was more.
Yeah. Like, it's, you expected, like, two guys, it could to be so much more. You know, give me some clotheslines from hell or some, you know, suplexes or throws or whatnot, just to make one of you guys look good. But, you know, and then Von Wagner wins with like this fall away attitude adjustment, which looked like he almost dropped Sangha on his head and whatnot. And again, the Von Wagner is his name. Need I say more?
Yeah. I was disappointed. Sang has been on quite a run, but I guess he should stick to yoga.
Not anymore, he ain't.
That's he's been doing yoga backstage, and then he needs to do the downward dog and be more zen after losing this one. We go to Wes Lee, and Wes Lee is cutting a promo, and he says that he's been beaten up quite a bit, and now he's cleared. He says Carmelo and Trick did a number on me, and it shows him getting his head kicked into the locker. He says he's medically cleared, but he's been given a pass and an advance in the ladder match, but he says he's refused to take it and says that he is going to earn his spot and still wants the match. And it's announced as they cut to Stax, who says next week, Tony D'Angelo is going to beat Wes Lee. So next week, qualifying ladder for the ladder match, Wes and Tony. So I think Wes should win it because the story with Carmelo and Trick kind of makes sense now. And it's been going on for weeks. And I think him winning the ladder match would kind of rise his stock a little bit. But I don't see Tony being added to that match. But yeah.
Big Wes Lee fan. I got a soft spot for the guy because I think he's the only NXT performer right now who follows me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Walter Sports, everybody.
Shout out Wes Lee.
I'm rooting for him. Yeah, shout out Wes Lee. You know, they were going, him and his former tag team partner, going for the Rush Hour theme there, sharing the last names as Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker. I thought Detective that was a nice little nod.
Detective Carter.
But yeah, Wes Lee, again, remember the fact that I'm not watching this regularly. I just think it's cool that they're still trying to do something with him. Obviously, the circumstances with his partner, Nash Carter, having to be forced from the brand. Wes Lee is such an incredible talent. You know, gave me those Ricochet vibes initially because he's so flamboyant and he's such a spectacular high flyer. A nice sleeper pick for this ladder match if he does get in, because Lord knows I can write an essay about how much I dislike Tony D'Angelo.
hey.
That's another podcast, but you'll have to invite me back if you want to talk about the Sopranos guy.
We go to Cameron Grimes backstage. He says, Joe Gacy, you want me to join down the schism tree? Well, I'm going to chop down the schism tree. I'm going to throw it in the wood chipper and use it as fuel so I can go to the moon. And he's had enough of this Joe Gacy, but I've had enough of anyone feuding with Joe Gacy. It instantly drags this down, but I do like Cameron Grimes' old school wrestling reference using the wood chipper in a promo.
Thank you for saying schism again, by the way, because now you're going to have to do like a Missy Elliott soundbite every time schism is said on the Up Next podcast, because now that's like engraved in my mind. But schism. Love Cameron Grimes. The To the Moon stuff is just gold to me. And he's one of those guys that I'm actually surprised hasn't been called up yet. I feel like he's been in NXT for quite a while now.
Yeah, we mention that usually week by week. Like, okay, he's kind of done everything. He could have been champ. It's just not in the cards right now. He could be doing any of the shticks he's done in the past on the main roster, and it would totally get over because anything they've given him works. He's really good. So he's just kind of floating around, and anytime anyone gets in, put in a feud with Joe Gacy and the schism, it's just instant go away heat, just don't care kind of thing. Unfortunately, we go to our next match, and we learned that this is a qualifying match for that ladder match. Oro Mensah versus Grayson Waller. Oro makes his entrance, and he's got a cool song, and Grayson Waller, when the bell rings, goes, "Hey, I really like that song." And then smacks Oro in the face and starts beating him up. and then does his taunt where he like drops to the knees. Mensa fights back though, hits a series of arm drags, and then taunts Waller with his own knee poses things. They go back and forth when Waller counters a hurricanrana and gets Oro in this electric chair and then props him higher up into the air to catch him into a back suplex. I thought this is one of the best wrestling offensive moves Grayson Waller's ever done. This looked really clean. And then on top of that, Waller then does the Bryan Danielson elbows, the combat club elbows here to Mensa, who then eventually gets up and fires back with the running forearms and then a moonsault press, a flipping kick. When on the outside, Waller is standing there when Mensa looks like he's going to do I think it's Waller setting up for his finisher, which is the stunner, which he has to get out of the ring to hit, which makes sense. When Apollo Crews shows up, now we've seen Apollo Crews's injured red eye, but this is the next level because Apollo Crews stands there with the one red eye dripping blood all over Crews's face. This startles Waller, who goes back into the ring, gets hit with a tope from Mensa, gets thrown back into the ring, and then a kick in the corner, like this running corner kick. And Mensa pins Waller here with the help of Apollo Crews and his fucking terrifying, bloody, dripping eye. I mean, spooky season is coming up, but holy shit. Pro wrestling, am I right?
Didn't go to Rey Mysterio's optometrist when he had to get his eyes.
What's with eyes in wrestling?
Didn't go to the Schism's optometrist. You know, they got to get those special cataracts going on there. It's really wild. Grayson Waller could have saved Grace big time had he pulled out that Rush Hour line. Is like, you know, get a tissue out of his pocket.
Yeah,
it's like wipe yourself off. You're bleeding. Like that would have been so badass. I would have just become Grayson Waller at that point. I would have been Team Waller big time. I didn't know the context of what was going on with Apollo's eye. I just thought that he looked like an idiot. But that's so neither silly. Here nor there. It led to Mensa taking the win. And like we alluded to earlier, a nice little push for him initially coming into NXT and getting thrust into that ladder match. And surprising Grayson Waller's not in there because, you know, he's someone that they put a lot of emphasis on when the 2.0 era started. I think he was the one who got the pinfall in the War Games match with the old school NXT guys, and ever since he's been more kind of like the mouthpiece doing his talk show and what have you.
Yeah,
waiting to kind of see what they're doing with Waller.
I always give him shit on this podcast because I do think he's very like a bootleg Miz, but I find that his wrestling does hit and can connect, and he's very creative with his wrestling. And I thought that in this match he looked very, very strong with that. He held his own. I was kind of bummed that they turned it into this silly thing with the distraction with Apollo Crews and this leaking bloody eye, which is just such a silly visual. I mean, come on, it's bleeding. The red eye last week. So Grayson Waller attacked his eye, which injured his eye a few weeks ago. And then we saw the eye in a promo. And then now he shows up. Like, why is it bleeding? Did he purposely cut his own eye to make it bleed? Because I don't know how you would have done that to make your eye bleed. This like drip down kind of thing is just so silly. So funny. I was howling at my TV. Like, really? I was getting into a Grayson Waller match. Like, that's not normal. And then you do this. Come on.
Does Apollo Crews not look in the mirror before he heads out?
Like,
into the
what
stands?
Was he doing like, that made this eye bleed? Like, what caused
Shawn Michaels was sitting there at the entrance ramp being like, hey, I mean, be the old man with the tissue is like wiping it off. And it's like, all right, now you look good. Get out there and go distract Waller for a minute.
Like, has he been walking around week by week with this bloody eye? Like, what are you doing? Cover it up. Fucking gross.
Well, he can't see clearly, so no, he couldn't see the
blood. That's the thing, he had these visions. Apollo Crews' gimmick was pretty much That's So Raven, like he could see the future and he had these visions. But now his eye is injured, so he can't see the future. But he saw Grayson Waller's future, and it wasn't the ladder match. Mensa was kind of impressive. I'm not super familiar with some of his work prior to this, but he had some cool offense, and I think putting him in the ladder match kind of can instantly elevate him to go, hey, this guy's at this level. So they trust him enough to kind of go that route. So again, kind of like the wrestling in this match, less bloody eyes or more bloody eyes in wrestling. We get a vignette promo for Sol Ruka, who you see her. She's like surfing on the beach. She says that she loves her art, her work, and her photography. And she loves the ocean and loves the spirit of the water. Because when you're out there, there's no distractions. It's absolute peace. And it's, she says that, but next week it's time to come ashore. I leave the beach. So Sol Ruka, the new surfer gimmick here in NXT, gonna make waves next week on NXT.
And we're running out of ideas here for wrestlers. Oh, she's the surfer chick. All right. She looks like she's tanned. She's lean. You know, she can you surf? No, I can't, guys. Like, I really can't surf.
Well, I hope she surfs. Oh, don't say that. I really hope she surfs. Now that you put that in my head, I'm like, oh, I hope she can. It looks like she
Shinsuke
can.
Shinsuke Nakamura's jealous.
Shinsuke is like, I want that. I've been trying to push for that gimmick for years. I want
this. This was on the table? Come on.
I can't surf, but I wish I could, and I'm willing to give it a chance to see like what she can do. But I'm sure, like, if this is someone who maybe hasn't wrestled all too much, like being put on TV is not the greatest way to kind of, you know, learn and get over right away. But hey, maybe she can be impressive, so I won't like knock it down yet. And if all else fails, you'll win me over because you just have to do a surfer slash Point Break gimmick and I'll be happy. So just go with that and
doesn't work, they'll turn her heel. Like, I think Cora Jade was the example. You know, you bring a board to the ring,
evil surfer,
you're gonna come evil surfer. You know, I think we're just leading our way to the evil surfer gimmick. It's never been done in wrestling. It's brilliant, it'll work.
Yeah.
Sol Ruka.
Are they gonna announce her like from the beach, or like what's her, is her finisher has to be called the Wipeout?
Wipeout. You should be writing this stuff, man. They have the sound bite and everything. Oh man, this is we're in the wrong jobs there, bud. We got to be writing this stuff.
I want Sol Ruka to be the best thing in wrestling. The surfer gimmick, love
evil
it.
Surfer.
Yeah. Then we go to our main event of the evening, a number one contendership match for the NXT World Title. It is Bron Breakker, the champion, who joins the commentary desk because he is going to be watching closely for two men he's already beaten in the last few weeks, who now have to face and get a chance to face Bron again. Tyler Bate going one-on-one with JD McDonagh. We get Tyler Bate early on here. He's on fire, hitting JD with all sorts of fast offense, kind of confusing JD here. And then they start going for near fall after near fall, like counter for counter, back and forth. There must have been about like 20 near falls back to back here in the span of maybe 2 minutes, which was quite impressive. Then they go to picture in picture where we see JD hitting a Uranage and then a standing moonsault and then a Boston crab, which is very impressive. When we come back, he goes for the devil inside, but it's blocked. Tyler sends him to the outside near the table and then hits an exploder, followed up by a standing star press. There's then the airplane spin, which gets the crowd really into the match if they weren't before, but JD kicks out of it. There's then a 450 from JD off the top, but Bate kicks out. He follows it up with a brainbuster, another kick out. There's then a straight up hockey fight here where they're just punching each other. Tyler does the bot bang a lot, but here they're just straight up going punch for punch here. Really great back and forth. I really like this, their whole part of this half of this match is just fantastic. There's then a Spanish fly when JD counters Bates like rebound clothesline and then eventually gets the bot bang when he goes to pin him while Tyler's laid out, which I thought was a funny spot. They eventually are fighting up on the top turnbuckle when JD hits him with the Irish kiss headbutt, followed up by an avalanche Spanish fly, and then wrist control lifts him up for the devil inside. And it's the high angle back suplex, which is a pretty sweet finisher. And JD picks up the win on Tyler Bate and is now the number one contender. Before we kind of get to the aftermatch, what'd you think of this match? Because I thought this was a pretty cracking main event.
Yeah, easily the best match on the entire show. You don't need to convince me for reasons why you need to see JD McDonagh and Tyler Bate have a 10-minute banger on NXT. It was giving me old school Progress Wrestling vibes. That's where I initially knew them before their tenures in NXT UK, where British wrestling is all about the striking. It's about the suplexes. And I was a big Tyler Bate fan when he initially won the NXT UK title, that first tournament they did out there in England. And I always kind of got that, like, you know, before he started becoming the more Conor McGregor-esque character with the tattoos and like the cocky attitude, I thought this guy had like Bryan Danielson intangibles to him, you know, the smaller stature, but like an underdog you can really rally behind because he's such a good in-ring performer. And I'm so happy like this NXT Europe thing is happening, because you're bringing over these British performers right now to the main NXT show in the United States. And we get to see these matches like McDonagh and Tyler Bate. And, you know, we joked about it earlier with Bron Breakker picking Tyler Bate. It was kind of like a wink, wink, that it was going to be McDonagh winning this match. But honestly, you could have flipped a coin and either opponent for Bron Breakker would be awesome. But it's also kind of an indicator of there wasn't really anybody else next in line to face Breakker. So they're going back to like past opponents for Breakker. And you know what? If it's McDonagh or, you know, maybe something involving the guy that we're about to talk about, it's good enough for me. Two thumbs up. I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, I really love this match. I'm a big fan of both Bate and McDonagh's wrestling from all the matches prior. I mentioned we did that best match ever UK. I was watching a lot of these two in the last week for that podcast, and I loved all the stuff that they've done. But this was awesome, and it sets up JD, who's been on quite a run with this like heel American psycho kind of creepy character, where Braun now gets in the ring afterwards and has a stare down with JD as they are face to face when we hear Comrades of the Red Army hit. And if you're not familiar with that, it is Ilya Dragunov who comes out here at the Performance Center, walks down the ring, and is now face to face. When his music hit, the camera is on JD and Braun, and Braun is like, huh, oh, okay. And JD goes, no, damn it. So JD's pissed that Dragunov is shown up here. Dragunov comes down. The three of them are in the ring. JD, Braun, and Dragunov all stare at each other. And as NXT goes off the air, but Ilya Dragunov making his return to TV here and kind of letting his motives known, staring down the NXT champion. But it is the House of Dragunov here now in NXT. So I'm excited. This guy is a firecracker of talent, and him versus Braun, book, this is the guy to beat Braun. Sorry, this is it. We found him. Sorry, JD. Sorry, Carmelo. Dragunov is the one. Strap it to him. But great way to end the show. What'd you think?
Nice call to the Game of Thrones there. House of Dragunov.
That like, needs to be his shirt, right? On. Yeah, they need to use
definitely.
That.
Sell it at Pro Wrestling Tees or WWE.com, sure. Whatever you got to do. No, I'm a big Dragunov guy. This felt inevitable because obviously he had to drop the title, which led to the tournament, which Bate won before, you know, he showed up on NXT before it was even over when they were airing it on Peacock or whatever they were doing. Dragunov, like if you were to list like my favorite matches, like maybe my 10 favorite matches of the last decade or so, two of them, you know, obviously the match he had with Walter, where he became the NXT UK champion, is one of maybe the best matches in NXT history. He also, for those of you who don't really follow like the British wrestling scene back in the day, he had this really strong match which introduced me to him at Wembley Stadium for Progress Wrestling, yeah. Where he had a match with the Bruiserweight Pete Dunne, which I thought was just an incredible back and forth clash with Dunne, who is, you know, under the radar, one of my favorite guys in the business right now. Dragunov, him entering that main event picture for the NXT Championship with Breakker, whether they do him and Breakker at Halloween Havoc, obviously McDonagh is now the number one contender. Maybe they do a triple threat. And that kind of leads me to believe, what is the future as Bron Breakker as the NXT Championship? I was talking earlier about, you know, Alba Fire potentially being the one to dethrone Mandy Rose. I think we're at the point now, especially with the changes going on the main roster, where a Bron Breakker can seamlessly fit in. And now you have someone credible with championship repertoire like an Ilya Dragunov, who didn't technically lose the NXT UK championship. Like you said, this might be like the perfect guy to dethrone Breakker and take this new black and gold NXT, where wrestling is probably going to be a more prominent thing, like the actual in-ring action. You could do a hell of a lot worse than Ilya Dragunov. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, this guy is fantastic. You're right. All the stuff in the past that he's done is awesome. And he got injured. That title is now, you know, gone. NXT UK is gone. They kept him around. I think he's definitely one of, you know, Shawn's or Triple H's boys. He has to be. He's just so talented. I think Braun should be main roster bound within this year, within a year, like with way less than within a year, like in the next few months, maybe, you know, Mania season or whatnot. But even before then, Royal Rumble, hell, something like that. But Dragunov instantly goes, oh, that would be a great person to beat Braun, because we kind of were running out. Should it be Carmelo? Should it be this guy? Then you have all these other fresh matches like Carmelo Dragunov or Dragunov Bate Tyler. There's so many different options, but we got to get through JD first. I would assume, unless we go some sort of triple threat here, which is kind of what they did with Mandy, Satomura and Blair in that last pay-per-view, to just kind of use JD as the person who was Blair in that match, who's just there to take the pin. But yeah, I would imagine you do the JD Braun match first, and then you go to that for Halloween Havoc, but you could do the triple threat there as well. But I really enjoyed the last match, and this last segment really got me hyped to kind of see where we go with this.
And look at it this way too. I just thought of this, and I hope they kind of allude to this during the build, because I think, you know, it's only a matter of time before we get Dragunov versus Breaker. I really hope they mention the fact, especially with Gunther being such a prominent part of Friday Night SmackDown right now, the undefeated Intercontinental Champion, allude to the fact that Dragunov is one of the few people in WWE to actually have a pinfall or submission victory over this, you know, gargantuan monster that's taking over the big show right now, Friday Night SmackDown. Be like, hey, I've tapped out Gunther to become the NXT UK champion. You know, you're Braun Breaker, you're the NXT champion. You're not in Gunther's league. It puts over Gunther, and then you get to the point where Ilya Dragunov is maybe the guy to take the title off of Breaker, and then you start adding that credibility to a guy that maybe the commoner NXT fan isn't overly familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, I just said that maybe JD's in the match so that he takes the pin. I think maybe you could do that route, and that's how you get the title. Maybe you don't have Braun. If it's a triple threat, right? Like, you have Braun not get pinned and still lose the title. Therefore, he's got a gripe, and then you could set up like the singles match. But he's definitely, look, we cover wrestling. We talk about it. We all, as fans, love to go, hey, that was the match of the year kind of thing. And 2 years in a row, him and Walter had match of the year, if not contender, if not the match of the year. So, I mean, this guy is awesome. So it is a character that instantly injects like some just like some excitement into this kind of title picture. So I am kind of into that, but I would say this episode as a whole is classic NXT 2.0, because it had a lot of fluff and a lot of, oh yeah, okay, that was there, but it did have some glimmers of wrestling. And as I always say, call me crazy, but I like watching wrestling because I like the wrestling. And I thought Nathan Frazier and Axiom put on a pretty sweet opener here. Hey, we even got a Canadian destroyer from the Schism Tree, so they can't be all that bad. But I would say head and shoulders, the main event was the best part of the show.
I recently reviewed, as a part of another wrestling podcast, we were going over TNA Lockdown 2008. And that was the show that was headlined by Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle in the Six Sides of Steel for the TNA World Championship. And I was watching and I was taking notes throughout the show, and everything leading up to the main event was hot garbage. And anyone who forgets that show can Wikipedia some of the results. It was really bad, but they made the main event seem like a big deal because it was, you know, it was for the world title and there was ramifications and it was great. The thing about a show, whether it's a pay-per-view or you're watching Raw, SmackDown, NXT, the lasting impression is what stays with you the most. More often than not, unless the opener's a banger or there's some like big storyline plot twists or a really strong match in the middle of the show, it's about how it closes, because that's the last thing you're going to be talking about. That's the last thing that stays with you. So for an NXT episode like this, where I was left with a JD McDonagh versus Tyler Bate match, a pretty strong, it wasn't like a 20, 25 minute classic, but for what it was a really good match. And then you get Ilya Dragunov coming out to close the show, and you're wondering, hey, who's going to be challenging Breaker next? Is it McDonagh? Is it Dragunov? Are we doing a triple threat? We know what the North American title is heading into Halloween Havoc. What's going to play out with that? There's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and that's kind of the lasting impression I had with this NXT episode, like that Lockdown show that I recently reviewed. It's about how it ends, and if it's a strong ending, I think that can kind of overshadow some of the fluff that you were describing.
They do a lot of fluff in 2.0. And I know that just changing the logo back to like a black and gold with a little bit of white won't just change everything all at once. But I have more hope in NXT since the whole Triple H taking over WWE. That my view of 2.0 has drastically changed minus like a year ago or half a year ago, just because NXT 2.0 was in the mud. We have a few comments of feedback here. I'll read them here. First, we go to Magan, who writes, "The taped nature of tonight's episode and next week's episode will buy Hunter and company some time to wipe the slate clean. The main event was worth watching, and the post-match return of Dragunov was dope. Can't wait to see anything better than Black and Gold with Ilya. Patience is key." And then we go to Sean, who says, "Worst rebrand ever." He wasn't a fan of the rebrand, quote unquote.
Give it time.
And then, yeah, patience is key, as Megan said. And then finally, Charles writes in, who says, "Can I just say one thing? Gigi Dolan." That is all. Yes. Nice. Thank you, Charles. And that's it. That's our NXT as the 2.0, the brand changing away from 2.0, mixing back in with the black and gold. Maybe we'll see some good things in the horizon. But did you have fun, Chris?
I definitely had fun. This is someone who doesn't watch NXT on the regular. I follow your podcast constantly, so I'm kind of, that's how I keep up to the know with what's going on with the brand. But you know what? In professional wrestling, optimism is a powerful thing. And like you were saying, with this new regime in charge and the changes that are going on with NXT right now, maybe this is a program that I'm going to start following more regularly by watching it live on Sportsnet Now every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, because I think there's a lot of things that can be built on. Again, I'm intrigued with that main event scene with the world championship. I'm wondering who's going to be in this ladder match. And they always deliver with like these kind of semi-premium events, like these big shows branded with the former WCW pay-per-view names, like Halloween Havoc, for example. So
yeah,
I'm excited. Again, change is always a good thing, especially when the bar was kind of pretty low for the multicolored rainbow version of NXT 2.0. So just give me a solid show. I'm not expecting the world, but moving forward, again, my optimism is intrigued. It's peaking. We're getting to a good point here.
Yeah. So Halloween Havoc is on Saturday, October 22nd, and it will be a Peacock premium live event, you know, so it's not a Tuesday night TV special. This is an actual network special. So Halloween Havoc, they're not using the word takeover just yet, but I do think going forward, we will see the return of takeover. I do think somehow, some way, but so far, if we're thinking it has that ladder match and the triple threat, I mean, so far, so good. And I'm sure that they'll have some other great matches to add to that. But we'll see the future of NXT. And Halloween Havoc's always fun. You just do spooky stuff. And we'll be for sure covering that on the 22nd. So look for that. We'll be going live after that, I'm sure, with our post show. But Chris, man, thank you so much for joining me today to chat about some NXT and some wrestling. I want to give you the floor to let people know where they can find you, what you do, anything you want to plug, please. Go for it.
Well, first of all, I'm truly humbled and grateful that you invited me on your podcast, because, again, I'm such a huge supporter of yourself and Davey and what you guys are doing with the Up Next podcast and the post-wrestling family in general. I'm a proud postmark. You know, I subscribe to what John and Way are doing. I'd love to chat with them in the future as well. But again, the podcast that you and I did for the Walder Sportscast, you were someone that I wanted to talk to for quite some time. I'm such a fan of your work, just like your charisma behind the Mike. And I think everything that you guys are doing with this show is really tremendous. And I'm glad to see the fans and the gathering and the support that you guys have achieved over the years. I think it's truly something to respect and admire. For myself, follow me on Twitter at Walder Sports. It's with a D, it's not a T. Get out of here with your Walter. I'm Walder. Get it right. I got my podcast. It's on a little bit of a hiatus right now. I'm just trying to get some stuff in order with my life and my work, but I'm hoping to bring it back sooner rather than later. And if you're a Toronto Raptors fan, I talk a lot of basketball, but I talk a lot of Dynamite. Maybe I'll get some more NXT takes in there. And I'm also going to be there at the Toronto shows, both Dynamite and Rampage. So if you see a guy with a Toronto Raptors hat and some big bulky glasses, don't hesitate to say hi. And I hope to see you there. Are you going to be there for the Dynamite and Rampage?
I mean, you're giving me a great softball segue here because, again, if you're going to Grand Slam, you got to go to Cheap Shots before the show to hang out with Davey and Co. because they're going to be getting super sloshed up before Grand Slam. But fast forward to Toronto for AEW Dynamite and Rampage. Yes, we have official, a great after party for Dynamite, an AEW Dynamite Up Next after party at Sneaky D's. And we are going to attempt something I've wanted to try this for so long. Pro wrestling karaoke. It's going to be quite a party. So Sneaky D's, 11 p.m. after that Dynamite. And we are going to have some pre-party for Dynamite and Rampage and all that stuff. But again, follow all our socials for all that stuff. And I know Davey and friends would love to see you guys down in New York, and for all the Toronto people later in October on the 12th and 13th here. We're super excited. And again, patreon.com/upnext. $5 for North America tier gets you access to all the podcasts that we've done in the past, all the best matches ever, retro pay-per-view reviews. And I'm going to be doing a crazy random show with Jordan Goodman, where we're going to be chatting all things, and that's going to be available to all patrons. So look forward to that, as we're calling it a little bit of a detox. But thank you, Chris, for joining me, man. That was a total blast, and I hope we can do it again sometime soon. Love to chat some pro wrestling with you. And thank you, everyone, for listening to us here tonight. We cannot do this without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I myself, Braden Harrington, I am on Twitter and Instagram at the Bray D, and follow Up Next on Twitter at UPNXT Podcast. That's it. That's all. Thank you. Good night. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. Ahoy.